Every week I say it because every week it's true. I am really grateful. Aren't you grateful for the praise team?
Yes.
Amen to that. If you have your Bibles with you, or you have a device with you, we're in Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25 today. As we continue on our journey to Christmas, light of the candles of hope and peace. Joy is coming up next. Let's bow our heads and pray. Good morning, Lord. Thank you with all of our heart for a chance to be together, whether we are presently in this room or we are presently in this room via being online. Either way, you have connected us. Just as missionaries have been connected all around the world via technology for years, we are connected to one another that way. But even more importantly, we are connected by the power of your Holy Spirit. So be with us today. Lord, there are so many things to keep our minds off of the reasons why we're on this earth. Certainly during Christmas, there are so many distractions so that we forget why we have Christmas in the first place. Lord, we confess to you that some of us are more concerned about what we're going to do for our holiday gathering and whether the packages we order on Amazon will get here in time than we are about your presence deeply embedded in our souls. Remind us, Lord, you came so you could be deeply embedded in our souls. Challenge us in that truth today as we deal with all kinds of surprises, all kinds of unexpected things. Let us see from your word how we can handle them better. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm wondering this morning, how well do you handle surprises? It's a true story. A man went to his doctor, he got examined, and then the doc wrote a prescription for the medications that he needed at the pharmacy. Now, when he got to the pharmacy, he couldn't read what the doctor had written. Doctors are not known for their neat handwriting, so he couldn't quite read the last one. So he asked the pharmacist what the medication was. The pharmacist looked at it and said, "Clearly, this is retinol." The man got his meds and left. Now, 2 weeks later, the man went to his doctor for a follow-up and showed the doc all the meds that he was taking. The doctor asked, "Why are you taking retinol?" The man said, "You prescribed it in my last visit." So he showed the doc the prescription. The doctor looked at it for a moment, responded, no, that wasn't retinol. I was just scribbling because my pen was low on ink." I mean, there are different ways of understanding our reality, right? What we think something is doesn't really mean that that is what it is. Now, as we move toward the big 2-5 later this month, I'm wondering how you handle surprises. Do you like to be surprised? Does it depend on if it's a good or not so good surprise? Do you not like to be surprised? Does that depend on whether it's a good or not so good surprise? It's an important question for when we're surprised, what we truly believe and who we really are comes out of our mouth, out of our heart, and out of our very life. Who we really are and what is really inside us is displayed in a surprise. Think about it. When someone surprises us by jumping out from behind the door to scare us on Halloween, the punch that we throw at them is who we are. When my Philadelphia Phillies lose their 1,000,001st game, the exclamations I utter at the TV are who I am, and I'm sorry to admit that. When our big toe is surprised by the coffee table as we're walking around the house in our bare feet, what comes out of our mouth is who we are. And we can see this truth coming out in the midst of the surprise concept, this concept of the truth coming out in the midst of the surprise, demonstrated in the story of Joseph, Jesus' earthly dad. So take a look at Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18, and listen to God's word. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means, anybody? God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So today, let's pull a few things out of Joseph's experience when it comes to God's surprises, because he got the surprise of all surprises, didn't he? For one, there was Joseph's shock. Joseph was a human like the rest of us. No matter what our responses were to those things mentioned earlier, I really don't think we humans handle surprises very well. I don't think we humans handle change very well, for that matter. Consider what IKEA did in 2009. But before I tell you what they did, listen to their reactions. A Tokyo commenter on Twitter said, "IKEA, please stop the madness. Words can't describe my disgust," wrote Ben from Melbourne. "Horrific," lamented Chris from Dublin. The online forum Typophile closed its first post on the subject with the words, "It's a sad day." On August 26th, the Romanian design consultant started an online petition to get them to change their mind. Now, what terrible thing did IKEA do? Did they steal stockholder money? Nope. Was their CEO arrested for something untoward? Uh-uh. Did they start selling tables with only three legs and call it unfinished furniture? Nope. I really like that. I thought that was funny. I hope you who are watching at home laughed more than the people in this room. Anyway, no, they didn't do any of that. What they did was this. They changed the font in their 2010 catalog from Futura font to Verdana font. All they did was adjust the typeset that you read when you turn the pages, and people went crazy. That night, Verdana font was already a trending topic on Twitter, drawing more tweets than even the recent death of Senator Ted Kennedy. Yeah, I don't think human beings handle change or surprises well at all. Now imagine if these same people came home from work one night and their spouses told them, "By the way, honey, I'm pregnant. But not from another man, don't worry about that. No. But from God." I mean, at that moment, a change in the catalog font looks pretty good, doesn't it? That was Joseph's shock and surprise. Not something minor. He's a hardworking guy. He deals with lots of folks. He had a good reputation in town with people, and now his little hamlet will be abuzz because his fiance is pregnant from someone other than him. That's just great. And the couple also has the privilege of explaining to everyone who wants to know that God has made her pregnant through no human means. Yeah, right. That's just great. Just awesome. Many will think that his fiance is not only loose, but she's delusional too. Life just gets better and better for Joseph. That's his shock. That's his surprise. Now, would it be yours too? I think it would be. Next is his response. That is Joseph's first gut reaction about what to do. By all accounts, he's an honorable man and wants to handle the situation with respect, both for himself and the woman that he still loves. So he decides to break the engagement quietly, even though he could have brought her up on charges and probably encouraged the religious leaders to stone her to death. Instead, he took the most honorable route he knew of. He was trying to be a good guy. The course of action made sense to him. That's his first gut reaction, to do what made sense. In his shock and surprise, he did what came naturally. And that's what we all do, isn't it? Notice that Joseph is just a human guy. He has no halo over his head. He doesn't fast for 40 days and commune with God for a decision about the matter. In fact, there is no evidence that he even prayed to ask God for a decision. Maybe that sounds familiar to some of you. Not praying to God about a decision. He just did what he knew. He did what came naturally. But our solutions don't always have the best results, do they? Even though at first blush we think we have a handle on the situation, that doesn't always mean that we have a good understanding of what's happening. His beloved told him she was pregnant by God. Now, even if he didn't believe her, who would have? He could still have spent a little time trying to find out what really happened. He could have taken some time to discover if anything else was going on behind the scenes, couldn't he? Not Joseph. Might I say? Not most of us, most of the time. We think we know better, and there's no telling us anything else. And just like Joe, it only takes one verse for us to decide. He says, I'll just end this thing, I'll make it crisp and clean and no caffeine, and it'll be done. His solution was well-intentioned, but his solution was also very limited. Have you come up with any answers like Joseph has lately? Simply doing what made sense at the moment without giving consideration that something else bigger might be going on. How those decisions worked out for you? Next, in contrast to Joseph's plan, we have God's answer. Now, God's messenger comes to Joseph and explains to this carpenter the extent of his limitations. It's as if he says, Joseph, I know you think you have it all figured out. I know you've already decided what you're going to do. I know you believe that you truly know best. However, there is something else going on here, and I want to tell you about it, and I'm going to tell you what your next move will be. See, this whole thing was bigger and better than Mary's intended could have ever imagined. God took the time to expand Joseph's understanding of the big picture, not just a pregnant fiance, not just an unwed mother, not just another little baby in the crib without a father, not just another headache and embarrassment to explain to the neighbors, but something otherworldly was going on. God wanted to stretch this hardworking blue-collar carpenter to a greater understanding than any human being had ever been stretched since Abraham. And because this carpenter was willing, God took him beyond all his limits. So I'm wondering about each of the circumstances in which we find ourselves today. Situations about our future in a COVID world. Situations about our job. Situations about our possible job. Situations about, like Joseph, our family, real life, gritty situations that we have to deal with the moment that we leave here. Is it possible, my friends and Joseph wannabes, that there just might be more going on than we can see on the surface? That, like Joseph, we may really feel like we've got the correct understanding and know the correct action to take. We believe we're absolutely right, and even our friends and others that we respect confirm that we are right. Yet, if we act according to only that which we know, these situations may actually, like Joseph wanted to, just divorce us from the situation quietly and move on without thinking that there's anything else happening. Might we have only succeeded in being the judge, jury, and executioner on a plan that the real judge wanted for us? Think about these. King Saul and his army could not defeat Goliath. It looked like it was all over. They were thinking about giving up and quietly divorcing the situation and moving on. Then a little wisp of a shepherd boy who showed up with lunch and a slingshot changed all that. And they saw that afternoon God was doing more than it first appeared. Or how about Vanetta Flowers? She was a sprinter who desperately wanted to make the U.S. Summer Olympic team, which competed in Atlanta in 96 and Sydney, Australia in 2000. Unfortunately, injury and poorly timed illness kept her from making either team. She was heartbroken. She was wrecked like a head-on collision. Even though this had been her dream since she was 9 years old, she was thinking of quietly divorcing her athletic career and just moving on with her life and giving up. Then on a whim, she decided to answer a want ad for the U.S. Olympic bobsled team. They were running a want ad for the U.S. Olympic bobsled team. She tried out. She had a really good tryout. In fact, it was so good, she made the U.S. team in the 2002 Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City, and she was fast. In fact, as a result of that whim, she won her event and at the time was the only person of African descent to win a gold medal in the Winter Olympics. And she said on the medal stand that she saw God was doing more than it first appeared. You see, God takes difficult situations and God makes them supernatural. The people involved in these situations do not become supernatural and wear S's on their chests and capes on their back. God makes a situation supernatural when you and I invite him to be part of the process. At first, Joseph didn't, but eventually he caught on. So how about you? What's your situation? Or more accurately, what are your situations? Are you ready to pull the trigger? Is it all planned out, put together, and PowerPointed already? Has your talent, intellect, and public opinion convinced you that there is no possible better solution, answer, or attitude that can exist except what you believe in this matter? End of story. That's what Joseph thought too. But aren't you glad he reconsidered? I know, Joseph had an angel to visit him in the middle of the night during a dream. All you have is a 55-year-old pastor who makes you nod off to La La Land. I get that. But it is worth asking the question, isn't it? Could there be something more that you're not seeing because you forgot to ask God to be a part of the decision-making process in the first place? Friends, during Advent, let's keep a close eye on those supernatural solutions. In this season, let's endeavor to be Joseph after, everybody say after. Let's endeavor to be Joseph after the dream. Let's find out what God thinks about what we're doing. Let's be the ones open to God's supernatural solutions. Who knows? We may even experience God with us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time where we can open your word. In just a few moments, we'll be celebrating the Last Supper you had with your disciples, and we are so grateful for what you did through that. We're so grateful that once we didn't have life, but you gave it to us. Once we didn't have hope, you gave it to us. Once we didn't have peace, but you gave it to us. Long before we ever lighted two candles this morning. So encourage us and strengthen us. Remind us whose we are, and that this season of Advent, this season of your arrival, can change everything, just like it did for Joseph and Mary. And for that, we will always be grateful in Jesus' name. Amen.